So Northern Ireland goes to the polls a week tomorrow. You'll be electing a new assembly at Stormont. As you know, we've been looking at detail through the different manifesto of the political parties. We're trying to dig into all the promises that they are making in writing, and we're trying to establish whether actually they can deliver on that, whether they've any intention of delivering. Today, it's the turn of the SDLP. Their foil politician, Gerard Diver, is with us this morning. Mr. Diver, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. It's lovely to talk to you. Most politicians bring me in chocolate. You've brought me nothing. What does that say at the start of this interview?
Oh, dear. Well, I have to say we share the same desire there. I like chocolate myself. But unfortunately, it slipped my mind this morning to bring you some. But I'll have to remember to do that the next time.
First thing you should think about, Mr. Diver, when you're waking up is me. Right. Is the SDLP going into the executive after this election or not?
Well, I think, Stephen, the first thing to say is that anybody that's serious about the business of politics and wants to represent people to the best of their ability wants to run for government. And the SDLP obviously has been in government before in Northern Ireland, and I think played a very progressive and important role in that in the period that we were in government. And I think that we're going to the people on the 5th of May with a progressive manifesto, a progressive set of ideas, and it's our full intention to serve in the executive if we can get agreement on the issues that we want to get agreement on.
Yeah, you say in your manifesto the SDLP offers the voters certainty in this election. We will only enter government in May which delivers on pledges.
So yes,
how are you going to know in the first week whether you're going to be able to deliver on pledges or not?
Well, the first thing is that on this occasion, Stephen, there's a slightly different approach to the business of developing the programme for government. Immediately after the election, there's going to be a period of negotiation between the parties to see what's going to be contained in the programme for government. We have a very clear suite of ideas that we want to see happen. We don't believe that Northern Ireland's in a good place economically at the minute. We don't believe that there's balanced regional development. We don't believe that our young people are being well served by the shortcomings in our education, whether at school or at further higher education level. So we've put those proposals in our manifesto. We want to see those reflected in the programme for government.
And if they're not?
And if they're not, then that will be a choice then we'll have to make about the option that's there now for opposition.
No, but you're offering voters certainty in this election, you say. So is it certain you'll go in or certain you'll not?
Well, the certainty is that we will do what is right by the people at the particular time. Obviously, our original intention is to serve in government.
That's hardly offering voters certainty, is it?
Well, I think it's pretty clear, certainly crystal clear to me, that we have ideas about what we want to see in terms of the pledges that we are bringing to the electorate. If other parties are not in agreement with that, Stephen, it's not our problem as such. We have to then, I suppose, reassess that situation and decide how best we can represent the people that have elected us and their desires and intentions. And that may, in those circumstances, be in opposition, where we'll bring full scrutiny and accountability to the business of government in Northern Ireland.
Fair enough. So presumably in this election, because what you've said, fair enough. So presumably in this manifesto, there are some principles, there are some pledges that are deal breakers for your party. Now, which are those? What are the red lines?
Well, we have five very strong pledges that we're bringing to the electorate. And I suppose one that immediately springs to mind is our fairness pledge, where we look at the imbalances that exist currently within Northern Ireland. And I suppose I can't speak about this, Stephen, without reflecting about my own constituency of Foyle and the city of Derry here, which I believe, basically since the foundation of the state of Northern Ireland, has experienced neglect and has been forgotten. The only time that Derry actually enjoyed full employment was during the Second World War, believe it or not.
So what does Derry have to get in the programme for government for you to stay in there?
I would like to see an executive that was serious about the business of redressing regional imbalances. And when we look at the unemployment figures in
Derry, this is a general principle you're talking about. Is there any policy, even one, in this manifesto that's a red line for the SDLP? If you don't get it, you'll be out.
Well, the policy on the fairness pledge is around the issue of where places have less than 70% employment, that those particular areas should get particular attention by the executive to redress those imbalances.
This is a generality.
No, it's not. Absolutely not.
Yes,
we have.
So what's the policy? What's the specific policy around that?
Right. The policy is that we need the executive to work together to redress important economic and social issues that we're facing here, such as unemployment, such as economically inactive people.
Well, everybody's going to sign up to that.
Well, no, sorry, with the greatest respect, not everywhere experiences okay. the same degree of imbalance, unemployment or economic activity, of lack of economic activity that the Foyle constituency experiences. And that's why the Fairness Pledge is so important. We've got the issue around students as well. Obviously, we want to see our young people retained here locally. And that's why we've got a very progressive idea to redress the ridiculous situation that we're under investing in further higher education.
Your pledges for students are a red line, are they?
Well, yes, because we believe that the future of Northern Ireland, if we're serious about developing the economy here, we cannot underinvest in further and higher education. How ridiculous is it that we have 1,700 places that have been cut from our universities? There's all the discussion about corporation tax, which obviously we agree with the reduction in corporation tax. But Stephen, the experience of elsewhere, if you look at other countries that have used corporation tax as a mechanism to pump prime or stimulate their economy, they have also increased the number of graduate places that they have to meet the demands of employers in the new economy. That's not being done on what's been proposed by the outgoing executive. Okay. So we need to see that. That's the economic reason. But I think the social and ethical reason that we have to do it is that thousands of our young people are leaving here every year to go elsewhere. Okay. We're losing some of our brightest and our best to Britain and to around the world. Okay. We owe it to those young people to retain them here in Northern Ireland.
Okay, so you've just said that, yes, your pledges on... for students, in other words, education and training, is a red line. So that's quite clear that, therefore, you will not go into the executive unless you get what you have promised students in this country.
Well, it's very important for me to emphasise to you, Stephen, that we have five key pledges.
No, but let's that's fine.
The issue of students is one that I am very passionate about.
Yeah, but you've said it's a red line.
Yeah. Well, basically what we have said, Stephen, is... there are critical things that have to be delivered.
I just asked you if it's a red line. You said yes. Do you want to back out of that or do you stand over it?
Well, this fixation around the terminology red line...
Red line means promises, and actually you have a fixation with it too, because your party says in your manifesto the SDLP offers the voters certainty in this election. We will only enter a government in May which delivers on pledges. In other words, you won't go into government... If you do not deliver on your pledges.
For the purposes of clarity, just to restate it, we have five very clear pledges. The Fairness Pledge, we have the Strong Start around young people, we have the issue of the students, the investment there in our universities, we have the issue around crime, and we have the issue around increasing childcare to facilitate people coming back into the workplace, primarily women. Those are things that we believe are critically important.
Okay.
And yes, we want to see those delivered by
the incoming executive. So critically important that they are red lines.
Well, if you want to use that terminology, red lines, it's not my words, it's yours. But, I mean, we are making promises. We're not making hollow promises. We're making real promises to the electorate. We're about delivering. We're about being involved in government. But if those issues are not agreed by the other parties, we're open to the idea of looking at opposition.
No. Hold on a moment. Open to the idea of looking at opposition is not what you're saying in your manifesto. You're saying in your manifesto, we will only enter government. Not we are open to the idea of not entering government. You're saying we will only enter government which delivers on pledges. In other words, enter government unless you get what you're promising people in this country.
Well, I think you're being pedantic here to some extent,
really?
Stephen. What I'm saying is we have ideas which are very clearly and explicitly expressed in our manifesto. We believe those are important things
ideas
that should
not
be
pledges.
Delivered. Well, everything is an idea that you put in your manifesto. It may be a pledge as well, but it's an idea that the party has developed.
But you have just said that education is a red line for your party.
Yes.
Now, okay. So
development, yes. Okay. In my considered view, if we don't invest in further and higher education, we are not serious about the business of developing our economy.
So let's look at this area in itself as to what is a red line for the SDLP. In other words, what you are promising people in this country. The SDLP, you say, will reverse the recent cuts in university places and fund increased student places in Northern Ireland, including at the Ulster University in McGee.
Yes.
In addition, we will ensure additional investment in apprenticeships. We will also, your party says, reduce the portion of the tuition fee paid by students to minimise the debt burden on young people and ensure comprehensive access to third level education. So, those are red lines for the SDLP. If you don't get them, you're not going into government. So let's start at the beginning. How much will it cost to reverse the recent cuts in university places?
Okay, well, the total cost for that over 3 years is just over £120 million. Obviously, it rises incrementally in terms of the increase in student numbers. We're replacing the 1,700 and we're adding 1,000 additional students to that. So it would be 11.5 million in the first year, 23.6 and 38.2. So at the end of that, including the apprenticeships as well, £122 million. Over 3 years.
Right. So 3 years, you've already spent £120 million. You will also, on top of that, reduce the portion of the tuition fee paid by students. Reduce it by how much?
£500. No, that actually includes that, Stephen.
Okay.
Sorry, it doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't?
The reduction in fees, the total of the reduction in fees actually amounts to £51 million.
So you've spent
51 and 71 for the places, okay. The additional places.
So you've spent 171 million, is that correct?
No, it's 71 plus 51, 122 million, 0.9 million.
Over 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You've spent, and that's a red line pledge.
If
you do not get that, you're not walking in that executive and you're standing up to the electorate after the election and you're saying, we made a promise. And Jared Diver said on the Nolan Show, if we don't get it, we're not going into the executive.
Well,
so that's clear. That's what you've said on behalf of your party.
There's little point in putting something in a manifesto to the people if you're not going to stand over it. And the SDLP is not about making hollow promises like we've had here. Unfortunately, Stephen, we've had a history in this city of hollow promises being made. And I think back to the last Assembly election in 2011 when we had billboards erected around this city, stating that the expansion of McGee had been delivered, that the A5 and the A6 had been delivered, and they weren't delivered. And we're here now in 2016. So that may be the style of other parties. It is not the style of the SDLP. We stand over what we're bringing to the people,
okay. And
we will make the best choices that we can for the people that we represent.
Here's the problem, potentially, for your party, because you're making a big deal of saying that every part of your manifesto has been costed. We heard your leader, Colm Eastwood, saying that yours is the one of the only manifesto to be costed. So, the Department of Learning and Employment, of Employment and Learning, published an options paper on funding universities earlier this year. Have you read it?
Yes, well, I've just come into the Assembly in January, but yes, I'm familiar with the document. I've seen it before, yes.
Well, are you not familiar with the figure in it? Because it says to close the funding gap facing universities, to undo the cuts, to expand provision. In other words, what you've promised here. You're saying it will cost £122 million. How come the actual department responsible for this is saying it would cost £240 million? Double what you've provided for.
Well, obviously, they have calibrated their own figures, but, I mean, our figures are based on an £8,000 amount for students per year, and that's calculated over the period. So these have been costed.
You mean £8,000 per year? No, your figures have got to take account of cuts in university places. You're going to reverse those.
Yeah.
You're going to reduce the tuition fee.
Yeah.
You're going to ensure additional investment in apprenticships.
Yeah,
£15 million
over 3 years.
The Department of Education and Learning are saying that this would cost £240 million
well, obviously
over
we
3 years.
We have researched this and costed this, and we don't agree with that.
And by the way, those figures from the Department of Education and Learning don't include, this is before student fees are reduced. So I'll tell you what, either the Department of Education and Learning are wrong, or your manifesto, red line pledge, is blown completely out of the water.
Well, we can discuss about figures and how people have arrived at figures, but we have costed these pledges, Stephen, and I'm telling you that they're in our manifesto, and we are serious about the business of redressing the imbalances that we have in our further and higher education system.
Well, if you're serious, your figures better be right.
Well, they are costed, and they have been costed and put in the manifesto, so We're obviously serious about the business of it. Others, it's for others to dispute if they think that that's not achievable. But that's what we're bringing forward.
My goodness. Well, it's quite significant. We're only 10 minutes into this this morning. It is quite significant that the actual Department for Education and Training, you would have thought that they would Department of Education and Learning, you would have thought Employment and Learning, you would have thought that they would know how much it would cost, that they had the figures in front of them. And here we have now a situation where a political party is making a promise to people in Northern Ireland, is saying that their promises only amount to 122 million over 3 years, and the actual department tasked with implementing it are saying it would be 240 million plus the cost of reducing student fees. Somebody's way out. Somebody is way out indeed. Right. I want to stay in this theme of money and costing before we go any further, Jared, if that's all right.
Okay.
The SDLP, you've been shouting from the rooftops, and we can get a sense of it today in this election about how your manifesto's costed. Dolores Kelly tweeted this week, the SDLP manifesto was costed at 217 million. The Foyl SDLP tweeted that your manifesto was clear and costed. Your leader retweeted that. So what you're saying, just so I can get this right, you're saying that your manifesto pledges add up to 217 million. Is that correct?
Well, obviously there are different aspects in terms of how this is extrapolated and worked out, Stephen. The figure, you know, could vary depending on certain aspects, but I mean, somewhere between 217 and 220 million pounds, I suppose, in total.
Okay, so we'll not
depending
fall out.
Depending on you know, with the and these things,
we'll not
obviously
fall out over 3 million in government.
And obviously there are aspects about that when you're in the negotiations for government become apparent. We know in any project that's planned, a cost to evolve and sure. develop naturally as that goes along.
So
you know,
here's what
you have to come up with a figure.
Here's what your party colleague Daniel McCrossan said on TV last week.
Well, the SDLP have pledged last week in their manifesto, and our manifesto launched that we would reduce tuition fees, increase university places here, which is vitally important given the level of people that are leaving here to find opportunities elsewhere.
And
I was
how
a
do
product
you pay
of
for
that.
It?
I
how
left
do you pay
here when
it?
I was 18 to go to university in Liverpool for that exact reason. I came back here. I want better opportunities here at home, and that is not happening at the minute.
How do you pay for keeping tuition fees low?
Well, the Barna consequentials is 225 million. The SDLP manifesto is costed. It's the only costed manifesto that's been produced. Some haven't even produced a manifesto yet 2 weeks before an election. But our manifesto cost £217 million.
So there's that £217 million figure again. And you say that all that's covered by the Barnett consequential. Now, without us getting too anarchy, that's Northern Ireland's share of future UK public spending allocations. In other words, the money that we get from across the water based on our population here. Okay?
Yes.
So, and that's right, is it?
Yes. My understanding is in the last budget there was something like 233 million additional to Northern Ireland and as the Barnett consequential. And as I understand it at the minute, Stephen, that has not been allocated or identified for any specific or particular purpose. And why would it not be put to address many of the very difficult issues that we're hoping to grapple with in Northern Ireland?
Is that 223 million a year or what's that?
Well, that's the additional money that's been allocated in the budget under the Barnett consequential to take account of the population in Northern Ireland as it currently stands.
Yeah, but what is that? That's over what period of time? Is it per year, per 2 years, per 4 years? What is it?
I would presume that's an annual amount.
Okay, so 223 million we get in through Barnett per year is what you're saying, okay? And that covers your manifesto pledges. That's our basis for this interview. Correct?
Well, it's in terms of the monies that we have identified over the various headings for the pledges that we have in the manifesto, yes, it would cover that, yes.
Okay. And your manifesto is essentially saying, so that I can understand this, you're saying we get in 223 million a year, and as the SDLP, we're making promises of 217 million a year, therefore, this is costed. And you're targeting other political parties and you're saying they haven't costed theirs, we've costed ours. Is that fair?
Yes. Well, this is additional, obviously additional money that's been that is given by the British Exchequer to Northern Ireland. So that money, the purpose of the allocation of that money to specific needs, as I understand it at this point in time, hasn't been identified. Obviously, we are not going to be able to have the requisite investment that we need in further and higher education, in our, you know, obviously in our on our preschool, our childcare provision, and our Strong Start fund that we've identified without having those additional funds.
How amateur is your party?
Sorry, I'm not with you.
Have you got a calculator?
Not in front of me, no.
Is
no,
your
sorry.
Party?
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure we have access to one when we need to, yes.
Are you mocking the public of Northern Ireland?
Absolutely not.
When you say in your manifesto that this is costed?
Well, the aspects, the pledges that we have made in our manifesto
the public
have,
for
been,
fools?
Have been costed.
You taking
not
the
so.
Public for fools?
We wouldn't do that at any stage, Stephen.
Well, you see, part of the purpose of what I do for a living is to expose manifesto pledges which do not in any way add up. And here you are this morning, a couple of weeks away from an election, and you're saying that Northern Ireland gets 223 million per year from the Barnett formula.
No, I'm saying that 233 million additional money is coming as part of the Barnett consequential to Northern Ireland.
Right. Okay. It is over 4 years, Chair. So you're out by 4 years. So you think you're getting 220 odd million each year. It's actually over 4 years. So your party is blown out of the water in terms of any financial credibility that you claim to have. My goodness, what would happen to this country if you had control of government in any way? You'd be bankrupt after a couple of months.
Well, Stephen, at the end of the day, the most important thing, I think, is that we have ideas that we are bringing forward in our manifesto.
Are you serious?
As to the specifics of how that is rolled out, that is something that obviously is worked on and discussed and developed.
Are you serious?
Absolutely, of
You're
course.
You're serious? You don't think you need to apologise to people this morning that your party has put a manifesto in front of people and you claim that it's costed and your leader's retweeting it and Dolores Kelly is saying this is costed and your party thinks you're getting 220 odd million a year from the Barnett formula and you're actually only getting 50 million. Well, your party has cocked this up by fourfold. And you're laughing now, are
well,
you?
My party hasn't cocked it up, Stephen. I'm sitting here in front of you trying to reflect a wide range of things, obviously, that are in our manifesto.
Top line of this is the SDLP offers the voters certainty in this election. We will only enter a government in May which delivers on pledges. You say this is costed. It's not. Yeah. You're out by fourfold, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, Stephen, obviously, if I've got it wrong specifically here, I apologise to you for getting it wrong. But that does not reflect the fact that everybody that has been involved in the construction of the manifesto has got it wrong. There are ideas here that we are bringing forward. Those ideas have to be developed and extrapolated in the discussions around programme for government. Yeah. And it's not beyond the realms of possibility that the accuracy around the costings will be put there.
Actually, it's if you take the 50 million odd a year that we're actually getting per year, it's threefold, you're out, but you've multiplied the figure by fourfold, haven't you? You're getting 50 million a year, and you think you're getting 220 million a year. Like, if this was P7, primary school stuff, you would fail. If you sat in front of a kid in school and said, now, is that figure over 1 year or 4 years, they would try to add it up. Your party can't.
Well, you know, that we have the ideas, we're bringing them forward. As
you
I
can't
say,
pay for
the
them,
accuracy
Jared.
Around the costing is something that can be worked out, I believe.
Accuracy around the costing can be worked out. So are you retracting that your party has this costed?
No, I'm not retracting. My party is very confident of the fact that we have costed this, that we have, you know, we have looked at this. No other party, as I understand it, has gone to that depth yet. In fact,
what do you mean? No other party has cocked it up?
No
thinking the money we're getting each year is the money we're getting over 4 years.
Well, at the end of the day, Stephen, I think what's important are the proposals and ideas that we're bringing forward to
and
the electorate.
And not how much it costs.
And the accuracy of the costings around that is something that can be worked on and developed. And
accuracy can be worked on and developed. Well, I'll tell you what.
Of course it can.
The Foyle SDLP need to take down their tweet when they said their manifesto is clear and costed. Dolores Kelly better take down what she has said. The SDLP manifesto has costed at $217 million. Because your party thinks that's per year. Oh, hold on a minute. Actually, let's explore that. So the money that you're saying that you're spending, so we've already established that you've completely and utterly cocked up in terms of how much money this country is bringing in terms of the Barnett formula. So it's wrong. Factually wrong. So now let's look at how much money you're spending. This £217 million figure that you're saying your manifesto is costed at, in other words, the money you're spending, is that £217 million per year or over 4 years?
It's £220 million, Stephen, is the figure that I've referred to earlier in this
interview.
Well,
Dolores Kelly said £217 million, but we'll not follow it out over 3 million.
There could be some aspects of this where the costs are being obviously projected that could vary and could change in time.
And
that's the same in any project that's being developed.
I'll go with you. Let's say 220. Is that per year or over 4 years?
That's between 2016 and 2020, so over 4 years.
So that's over 4 years?
Yes.
Okay. So that's where that costing came from, over 4 years?
Yes.
Okay. So that's roughly $54 million a year, your total spend, correct?
Yes, I think so. If the 2020 is the total figure, yes.
Okay. So your total spend is $54 million per year. Let's go through the pledges now. And remember, we've got $54 million each year to play with. Let's go through the pledges. Your manifesto says, we will seek the support of other parties to begin negotiations with London on a long-term financial framework which will give Northern Ireland sufficient financial security to take on long-term transitions such as our own tax system and our own welfare system. Okay? So in other words, we'd have to build our own computer if we were handling our own tax system. If we had our own welfare system, that would cost money to administer. How much?
Well, now, Stephen, just to be clear here, the pledges in our manifesto, the five pledges that we made in our manifesto apply to specific areas. Then we have longer term plans about economic levers and potential tax raising measures. Which would be part of a 30-year plan to negotiate with the UK government. Though the costings for that I don't have in front of me. I have the costings for the pledges that we have in our manifesto, the five areas, the strong start, the stuff around student fees, the stuff around the preschool care.
All right.
Those are the aspects that I have costed in front of me.
So I'll go with you. So we'll park that. And we may or may not come back to it. So let's look again at the specifics.
So they're costed. Sorry, just to correct something earlier. In the 4 years, obviously we have a budget currently agreed by the executive that takes us up into 2017. So the costings, the 3 year costings that we have made, cover the period 17, 18, 18, 19, and 19, 20. So it's those 3 years that I have costed in front of me. Obviously the budget for the current year.
So this is how you're going to spend the 220 million. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.